Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 97 of 90s Court. I am one of your hosts, Lisa.
I'm the other one, Andy.
And what's up, dudes? We took a week off last week because last week was balls to the walls, insane.
Just our balls were all over the wall, especially Lisa's. So Lisa's I was got smearing them everywhere. Huge balls. Isn't it nice so that hot. When you're like a female that you can make jokes about like gross ball jokes and nobody, it's not gross because you don't have them?
That's true. That's an unfair advantage we have. That's like one thing
that's
we
the
have.
One, that's the one thing.
That's the one thing we have. So, yeah, welcome back to 90s Court. If you're listening for the first time, hello. And hello. Also, hello. And I think before we get the show started, we should talk. Andy, we need to have a talk.
Oh.
We need to talk.
Yeah. What's up?
I'm breaking up with you.
But we were just really starting to...
I know. No, it's not me, it's you. I've always wanted to pull that line in a breakup, and I never got to do it.
That's fine. No, I'm glad I could be your test pig for that. That's an expression,
test pig.
Right?
It's not. But listen, guys, it's not. There's nothing between Andy and I, but we did talk, and we are in a very different place in life than we were 2 years ago. And unfortunately, we realize that now it's time, as Andy said, to sun. And it's such an appropriate sunset. Thing to sunset the show. And so
goodbye.
We're gonna have.
Farewell.
I know. Sundays aren't gonna be the same. Meaning, we might actually have time to do stuff.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, and I think. Part of it too is because we're like, well, we also want to let some of our patrons know and everything like that too. Because honestly, like originally the plan was going to be that we were just gonna be like plot twist surprise, like just all of a sudden like one episode, just like it's all static and you're like, oh, I guess the show's over. Which would be that would be so us because we're just such pieces of shit. But no, we just thought we'd let you guys know because. Honestly, it felt appropriate, too, because this is a 90s show, and the 90s end in the 90s, and we're going to hit episode 99, and we can't go any farther than that, because then it's the 100s show, or the 2000s show, and we all know that the world ended in the year 2000, so
correct.
We can't go any further. So
we are just very in tune with ourselves, ghosts. I think about... Mad Men and how he was like, nope, we ended the show at the end of 1969. He's like, this is not that 70s show. He was like, this is where it ends. And also, I'm sure they were tired of doing, you know, that much work. But yeah, we hate to say it, but yeah,
yeah.
We have I've personally loved it. I've loved doing the show.
Oh, absolutely.
It's been so much fun. But we have this episode, two more.
Yeah.
And then we're going to wrap up.
So we're going to probably bust out some like kind of weird combos for the next couple weeks too, like not this week but like the next couple weeks, where it's just like these are just a couple like a few things that we've really wanted to do, and so we just need to just kind of fucking jam them in there. So so y'all are gonna get just a healthy dose of just absolute bullshit, but it's gonna be delicious.
But it's gonna be good. No,
you're gonna be such good bullshit.
You're gonna be so happy and so mad at the same time. So we've already talked about, because guess what month we're in now, bitches? It's October.
It's Febtober.
It's spooky season.
It is.
So we're gonna wrap up in our favorite way at the end of the 90s. Well, I don't know, not necessarily, but like with 90s spooky shit. We are ready. My body is ready.
We are.
We are ready. So,
speaking of patron members. To quickly transition to that, we wanted to give a quick shout out. Honestly, I'd like to give a quick shout out to our Patreon members in general. Fuck, dude, like y'all are crazy. Like you guys are just loyal. Like these bitches is loyal. Like I know that's a song, right? These bitches ain't loyal.
Yeah,
but they are in this situation. So I changed the song. Y'all have been amazing. I'm so glad that we could do our first executioner one with Michael, so that way we could have at least, you know, have one of you guys on. So that was amazing. Shout out to specifically to some of our Patreon members. Of course, Executioner Michael, hello. Our judges, whose names are not included on this list that I'm
son of a bitch, I'm so bad at adding the judges.
Because Lisa's just son of a fucking nightmare person.
I love bailiffs. I love bailiffs.
Judge,
I love bailiffs.
Judge Troy, I know you're on there. Who else is a judge right now? This is great. This is so good.
I'm so bad about this.
Let's listen to this Patreon
Judge Troy.
Content. Judge Troy, I wanted to first off just say just how handsome you are. And generally speaking, just how wonderful you are as a person, because you're really wonderful.
So good.
And while I stall, I'm going to pull up this list here real quick. That's going to tell me more about things.
Judge
Troy. Nope, that was it. It looks like the last one. So then the other ones are all currently bailiffs or jury members. So it worked out. Didn't have to stall at all. Bailiff Alyssa, you are a rock star, and I listen to your show every week, and I love it. And it's genuinely one of my favorite shows to listen to. So thank you. You and your husband do a really great job. Just so you guys know, that's the Next Session podcast. So if anyone plays D&D or is a nerd, that's an amazing show. And honestly, it's also very funny if you don't. Bailiff Evelyn, thank you so much. You're delightful and wonderful. Bailiff Anthony, thank you so much. You're also delightful and wonderful. And Bailiff Jake, thank you. You're delightful and wonderful. And also, you made a clock. You made multiple clocks, and they're beautiful.
So much clocks.
Like I said, it's the only time that anybody's ever made me something handmade and beautiful. And it still sits behind me when I record this show every day, so it gives me good luck.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you to you all. Of course, we'll get the rest of you all next week. But yeah, thank you all to our Patreon members. We admit we've sucked.
Patreon
I'll speak
was
for
rough
Lisa. I'll speak for Lisa. We've sucked on that a lot of the times, but we appreciate you guys riding along with us throughout this journey. So I'm gonna kick it over to Lisa now for talking about some stuff.
Well, shit. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Is your body ready? Okay, I'm talking music today because obviously. But I'm doing something different and heading into a genre that I don't often explore, and that genre is country. Now, Andy, do you love bodies of water?
Some of them.
Do you like even down to like ponds, lakes, even rivers maybe?
But you said you're going to talk about country music, and this sounds like you're going to talk about TLC.
That's exactly what I thought you were going to think. That's so interesting. No, I haven't gotten there yet, but no. Well, what if you grew up on and around a river and it was the backbone of so much of your childhood, and then you went to write a dope ass song about it, and also one of the best music videos that has ever been made, and it's burned into my brain? Well, today
I don't
know
what would happen if that happened.
I don't know. Well, then you would be talking about the one, the only.
Oh, shit.
Do you know this?
Yes, I do.
Well, I learned how to swim, and I learned who it was. Come at me, Alan Jackson. That's right. I'm talking about Alan Jackson and his 1993 hit, Chattahoochee. Way
That's
down
a good...
Chattahoochee.
Yeah, I could have never told you in a million years what year that came out. So
I had to... in my head, I was like, 75? I was like, no, it was 93. It was the 90s. So I was like, it just seems like it's just been around for forever. I needed to talk about this because this is everything to me. Like, this song and this video is... Well, not everything. This is an exaggeration. I'm good at this stuff. I'm good at exaggerating. But, like, it's catchy. Mm-hmm. It's an old song. It's got a dope ass music video. It's about fogging up the windows in an old Chevy. Like, come on, man. Hell yeah. Get it, Alan, Mr. Alan Jackson.
I feel like you can also electric slide to that song too.
You could also electric slide,
which is
to
also
song.
Good.
Very important stuff. The whole song is just about like his youth and his teen years and just being like a little shit kicker country kid at the river. And like, Andy,
uh-huh.
The video is, oh my God, peak 90s, okay? It's Alan Jackson, and he's doing his, like, shrugging when he's tweedledee on his guitar. But when he's not doing that, spliced in the video is him in cowboy jeans, in cowboy boots, water skiing.
What the fuck?
Yeah. He's like, on some of them, he's using like one of the boards, but, or he's using like the skis, but in most of them, he's just fucking skiing on his boots and it's him. CG did not exist in 1993. Computers weren't around.
It's the realist TV's effect is just learn how to fucking do it.
Yes, and that's what happens on the Chattahoochee. I didn't know how to ski.
Way down yonder on the Chattahoochee.
Yes, get it down. I didn't know that, but Alan Jackson knew that. So he got down with the Chattahoochee. Like, Andy, it's his life vest is peak 90s, and that it's like got all these neon colors on it that are like, you're like, no, that was, this sure. isn't ironic. This is authentic 90s. This is perfect. and honestly, it's just tremendously wholesome in its own way. Cause even in that, like, he's singing about getting his boner party shot down by this girl, like,
you know, his boner party.
His boner, because he was like, fogged up the windows of my old Chevy. I was willing, but she wasn't ready.
Whoops.
And so he's just like, I'll just go get a grape snow cone and then like go to the river and just like night water ski in my boots or something, because I'm Alan Jackson and that's what I do. I don't know how old I am at the filming of this video, but I'm Alan. Yeah, it's like a country music video burrito. It's like a 7-layer burrito of just insanity. And like,
it's a 7-layer burrito of insanity.
Of country insanity. I wasn't one for like pasture parties or anything in high school. A, because I was not cool enough to be invited, but that's not my problem. You guys are missing out. The reason I wasn't part of the pasture parties was because it just wasn't for me. But I didn't go to the lake and I wasn't part of the country, like country bumpkin scene and like growing up in the country and doing all that. So like, but like that whole life missed me, but something about this video shows me what it was like to be a country music kid. And like, I was there for it. And the song won, a country music award for the year it was released, and also for like single of the year and song of the year. So no big deal. Wowzers. So That's Chattahoochee. Let's see. What do we got left? Let's see. Wait. Let's get to it. What? He's just. About cars and dream about women. Never had a plan, just living for the minute. I'm done. That's Chattahoochee.
My goodness.
I'm so happy I got to do this. Not knowing that we didn't know we were going to sunset the show. No, and we I'm didn't. So glad I pulled out the Chattahoochee.
And honestly, yeah, I was sitting here like while you're doing that too, and I was like, should I pivot on my thing? Because like I had a thing and then I was like, you know what? Like, I mean, I guess if I can do anything pretty much.
Pivot, yeah. Andy.
So
pivot.
I pivoted. So here's the thing is the first thing I was going to do was something I've already done because it was my favorite video game ever. And because we did it on a recess episode, and I realized that like probably like nobody listened to that episode. And so I just was like I could cover it. It was like one of the first, it was like the second episode we ever did, I think, or the second or third. Okay. Which is gonna be Super Mario RPG. But then okay. But I was like, you know what, like when there's already a world of like so many things like that exist out there that we haven't done yet, mm-hmm. you know what, even though you kind of thought up and wrote some notes on what Super Mario RPG is, let's do this instead.
Okay. Gotcha. Oh my gosh. Ding 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 ding.
That's right, bitches.
Is it GoldenEye?
We're talking about GoldenEye 007 because the chances of one of the next two episodes being us covering GoldenEye is very slim. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, it was one of those ones where like when we were doing Mario Kart and everything like that, we ended up doing that against something else, and we're like, well, we haven't ever done Gold. I just realized we haven't done GoldenEye, and there wasn't really a good fit to go against it. So, fuck it, let's fucking go for it. So. GoldenEye 007, the video game. So for those of you mm-hmm. who are unaware, you're probably 12. I don't know who else you are. Like, if you are,
why are you
familiar
listening
with this
to
game,
this?
If you've, like, this is one of those games that even people who have just a casual understanding, and I apologize if you genuinely don't know what this game is because I feel terrible, but basically one of the coolest inventions, like one of the coolest game ideas, and it was based on a movie. And that's what was wild to me, was that this was based on a movie that, in the grand scheme of things, was not that great. Like, but the 007 movies were kind of just making a comeback there in the 90s, mm-hmm. and obviously they've continued a little bit. They kind of, like, have streaks where they get big, because this is where Pierce Brosnan started coming in as James Bond.
Right.
And so GoldenEye, they're like, hey, let's make a video game based on this. And I don't know what to tell you. Rare, they just crushed it. And Rare would continue to crush it over and over and over again, which is the reason that, unfortunately, like, I think that I heard recently that they're bringing a lot of N64 games onto the Switch. I don't play my Switch, so I don't know anything about it, but that was the reason I heard that they weren't going to do, like, an N64 Classic, because they don't own, like, any of the games, because Rare made them, and Xbox owns Rare.
Interesting. Okay.
And so Rare, yeah, because, I mean, Rare had their feet up, their hands over all over everything in the 90s. So, GoldenEye 007, not the first game that you got the Rumble Pack for, that was Star Fox, but you did have the Rumble Pack, and sometimes it was included with the game in case you missed out on it during Star Fox. So, in addition to being a game that was a really dope one-player game, to be honest, like, most people don't think of it that way, but it was a very good one-player game, mm-hmm. in the sense that not only was it very beatable, because N64, they kind of moved on from the Super Nintendo mode of, like, hey, let's just make the game really hard, so that way mm-hmm. it takes longer for you to beat it, versus the N64, like, hey, we have more space on the game, so we can actually make the game beatable. But what made it better and more replayable was unlocking shit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, because the easiest one and the one that most people did, the fucking speed run of the first level in that, where you just strafe like crazy to try and beat it under a certain time frame. And that's another one of those things. Thank you, Nintendo Power Magazine, for letting people know that, because there's no other reason you would know that, you know?
Correct.
That if you beat like this thing in a minute 47 or whatever it is, that's how you get DK mode. And that's right. I didn't look that up. I just remember that. I don't remember what the exact time limit was, but I remember you get DK mode by beating the first level in X amount of time. And so usually it was like you only had to kill like X amount of people and you just basically strafed by everybody else while they missed you with their AK-47s. And so there was a bunch of those throughout the game. And the cool thing about this too was when you went to rent the game, because people like me who didn't get the game for quite some time, because again, I was pretty late to the game on the N64. Which is the reason that Super Mario RPG was so huge for me, because it was a late, you know, anyways, we've talked about mm-hmm. that. So we rented it a lot, even though at least for the first several months, it just didn't exist in the rent, because people would just rent it and just keep it forever, it felt like, because it was so fucking popular. When you'd rent it, of course, other people have played it and they'd have different files that they played and they would have already unlocked a shitload of stuff. So you get to play with like all, you know, rocket launchers, like infinite, there's just all these different like things that you unlock basically just by beating different levels in different ways, without being hit, you know, under certain, I don't remember, I think there's this like there was always a different way to beat different levels, and if you did it you unlock some new mode that was always super cool, like all golden guns, you know, stuff like that. So
mm-hmm.
So in addition to the one player mode, where again it's funny now after like, I don't know, you probably haven't played this, but like Call of Duty games.
No, I have. Well, no, not Call of Duty, but yeah. I did play GoldenEye.
Yeah, but so the way that it works basically is it's just, obviously you have your controller that you need three hands for, where basically it's, you know, you're using the joystick to just navigate around and the C-pad for strafing, or, you know, if you're a weirdo, you can do it the other way somehow and use the D-pad. And so basically you're just holding this gun out in front of you and just kind of aiming was hard, but it helped with auto aim a little bit, where it would kind of like correct your aim a little bit with the gun. You kill people and you do stuff and like push things and a lot of interactive things, because I will say it also was one of the best games for like building in explosions, like just random pipes, like in like barrels and stuff that explode like all over the place, you know, like when you shoot them they blow up,
yeah.
Because they made stuff very interactive in the game too, and of course not only they have a lot of amazing weapons too, but they also had like dual wielding, where sometimes some weapons you could like pick up two of them. It would always be surprising because there were always just so many different cool guns in this game. And the biggest thing, of course, the reason that you got this game was because it was the ultimate multiplayer experience.
Is that what people would do with it when they have friends, is actually play with other people? Because I never got
Lisa
that
Pantalones.
Never no regret. Friends
your regret
so much regret
so yeah so it man, in addition to Mario Kart, as we mentioned earlier, and Mario Party, but this was earlier than Mario Party, just GoldenEye, man. Like, especially, like I said, when N64 came out, it's hard for people to understand now who were not there at the time. Like, we didn't have four-player games except for in arcades before this. So, like, this is such a huge deal to suddenly be able to play with more than just one friend. And mm-hmm. even then, even when they had the two-player systems, most games weren't very, like technically Mario Kart existed for Super Nintendo, but, like, nobody really played it like that. Like, people did, but it wasn't, like, great, you know, just one versus one in Mario mm-hmm. Kart. And so, like, having a four-player game as, like, party games and stuff like that was huge. And so GoldenEye was the first big, like, first-person shooter. Of that variety with multiplayer. And so there's just all the different levels you can get. Like I said, there's different settings where it'd be like automatics, pistols only, slappers only, of course, which is a big one, slappers only, where you can just only chop people, golden gun, heavy weapons. They'd have different ones with just basically different collections of guns scattered across the level. So, like, you start out, obviously, you have, like, a pistol or something, and then you can go to certain places and pick up, you know, certain weapons. And of course, there's always the weapons that everybody knows suck, like the clob. I don't know if that's what it's actually called, but it's K-L-O-B-B. It was like a really bad machine gun.
How can you have a really bad machine gun?
It was a... Lisa, okay. Because it didn't deal, like, any damage. And basically, if you had it, it was just worse than just shooting someone with a pistol, basically, because it was so fucking weak.
Wow.
So, like, the clob... And some other things, but yeah, there was always just a fun collection of different kind of guns that you could play with. And of course, you know, everybody knew where, like, you know, body armor was. And it's one of those things that I hate that I'm going to leave so much out, but I didn't prepare anything for this. It was just right. a feel and experience thing, but I had so much to say about it. Like I said, when I got an N64... During the duration of the show, I decided, like, to go to a store and buy an N64. That was the game that I got. And I was willing to pay, like, $30-some for an old-ass game, like, just so I could have GoldenEye. And I will say, it was hard. It was a lot harder to play when you hadn't played in a while. But it was equally stressful, like, strafing around, trying to kill the other person, and being like, mm-hmm. oh, so close. Just watching your thing, your red like, health bar tick down. And then finally getting the last shot in and being like, yes!
Yeah, I remember it being an extremely stressful game. And I just thought that was me because I was a wiener and was used to playing Pokemon Snap.
I mean, I think that was part of it, too.
No, well, come on, man. Throw me a bone. Throw me a bone. But no, but you're right. It was. I'm glad to hear someone who really enjoyed it be like, this was a tough game.
Lisa, I just looked. Okay, everybody on the show, too. If you go to GoldenEye on Wikipedia, I'm just reading this down this too. This is, so, legacy. It's reading about, like, different things about, like, what it was known for and everything. So if the first title is retrospective appraisal, and so it's just kind of talking about, oh, here's how people reviewed it, like, how it was viewed in the overall time, and, like, you know, best game of all time in the rankings and everything. The next subject was the clob. And I did not know that they had a thing about that. That is amazing. I had no idea that this was such a well-accepted thing. The clob, the gun I just told you about. The clob has retrospectively been described by critics as a memorable aspect of the gameplay of GoldenEye 007, albeit for its negative traits. So basically, is the ability to dual-wield the clob is one of the game's most satisfactory moments, and argue that it is likely to be remembered by players, unlike the vast majority of video game weapons. Which I think was because of the fact that the game was such a bad weapon. Something designers were beginning to where they were just as valuable as creating a perfect one. So basically, in addition to making good weapons, they're also like, here's a really bad weapon. I don't know if this is exactly what they're saying, but it felt like it to me, at least. So yeah,
I feel like
so
that's important for a video game, though, to make sure you have, like, one dud, so you're like, oh, shit, I've only got this.
Shitty, yeah, just have the clob as basically just a backup in case your PP7, your silenced PP7 ran out of ammunition.
Oh, I thought you were making a joke about a PP7, no. And I was like, that's pretty, I was like, that sounds like a funny game.
I'm childish, but not that childish, but yeah, aww. The PP7 was the name of the pistol. So no, GoldenEye, it was the dopest thing ever for multiplayer until like Halo came around, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, if you are like a really big nerd, you can network, even though it's very expensive or hard to do, network multiple ones together and play 8-player or 16-player or 12-player, you know. So, but before then, it was GoldenEye, and it was amazing. So GoldenEye, surprise. We talked about it. You're welcome.
We did. Oh, I'm glad you got to cover that. Yeah, yeah. Good on you for pivoting at the last minute, because that shit is not easy.
Yeah. Especially, like I said, Super Mario RPG, it would have been also fun to talk about, but since technically you could listen to me talk about it in like in like the recess episode from the beginning of the show, I think I'm glad we could talk about this at least once. So
for sure. Well, I'm glad you got to do that. GoldenEye 007 for N64. We all need to admit, also, deep inside ourselves, PlayStation versus N64. I think N64 was better, but the PlayStation
I think the problem is I just never had a PlayStation that I played like with any regularity.
Yeah.
And so I just didn't. And again, the age I was at that point, I was so into playing multiplayer with my friends that I just, you know, it was more important. And plus, it's literally just the PlayStation 32-bit versus the N64 64-bit. But I'm guessing if I was older, they obviously had a lot more mature games that were, you know, more appropriately fit for not children.
I guess adults might want to play a game too, but
yeah.
All right, well, let's take a break. We're going to come back with poll results from 2 weeks ago, wild show we had, and then we'll get on to this week's court case. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right, bye.
Bye. Like it or not, we're back.
Yo.
I know you were thinking, like, maybe when they said they were going to sunset the show, they meant after the break, or just before the break, maybe. Maybe this would be a weird time, but maybe they'll just stop the show forever. But
I'm not going to lie to you. When I was getting my chocolate, I was like, this is my chance to just run away.
What if I just don't come back? Like, technically this show would never air because I wouldn't put it up. I don't have Lisa's half of the file, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I came back. We did it. We came back. We did
That's
the
good.
Thing. We're here.
That's
We're
the
here.
Reason guess... she came back. She's like, well, I guess if we left, then it would be a waste of time that I just recorded that whole first part. So
a little bit, but I love to waste my time because I'm Lisa. It's like my number one jam. Dur. So let's talk about what happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We had Executioner Michael on the show, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. Also, world record for our longest show yet because we were covering 3 movies. That's not easy shit.
It was a long boy.
It was a long call, Sally. And we had a Shawshank Redemption versus the Green Mile versus Apt Pupil. And this is going to get funny.
It went very similar to how we thought it would go.
Almost exactly. Let's just go ahead and make it easy. Facebook, 74% Shawshank Redemption, 24% Green Mile.
What about the last one?
2% Apt Pupil.
What was the composition of that 2%, do you think?
It was just me. It was 100% just my vote.
Did you actually feel that way?
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure you
because
totally
I
love that.
Like I admitted on the show, I was weirdly invested in learning about World War II in middle school and high school. Wowzers. And I don't know. Instagram.
Love
a little
those
bit
Nazis.
Nicer. I don't love them. I'm intrigued by the way that they got
intrigued
there.
Intrigued by those Nazis.
Intrigued. 62% Shawshank Redemption on Instagram, 31% Green Mile, 7% Apt Pupil, and just to round it out, Shawshank Redemption on Twitter got 75% of the vote, 18.8% Green Mile, and 6.3% Apt Pupil. So not so great.
I mean, it is nice to know that at least on a couple of those that they did get more than one vote.
Yes, although on Instagram,
did you vote on Twitter?
I think I did, okay. But on Instagram, I definitely voted on 2 separate accounts for Apt Pupil. So those are probably both those.
Holy shit. The fucking truth comes out like this whole time the fucking fix has been in and she still loses.
Yeah. I didn't expect, but I was just like, I can't go out like a bitch. So I had to.
Instead, you go out like a fucking coward after telling everybody on the air that you voted twice.
Well, because when you set up your own, like, the poll on Instagram, it's like, okay, cool. And then
in order
to
see
the
results, yeah.
Well, no, but it's like, well, you can vote. And I was like, well, sure, I'll vote. I'll vote for App Pupil. And then later on my personal account, I was like, sure, I'll vote. I'll vote for App Pupil. And then that's what happens.
Like, whoops, I'm 2 people. But oops. You know what else is great? Food.
Are you ready to rest those pipes?
Man, you know what? You know what would be great is just fucking like during my ba-dum-bum-ba-dum, I was so sad because I was like, man, you know what I really should have done was just since I just really don't give a fuck at this point. Like just like it's like when you're like in your last 2 weeks of work, you put in your 2 weeks notice or whatever and you're just like, all right, fuck y'all. Man, I should have brought Finiskeel back just for that intro. Just really,
oh my gosh.
Just as a real fuck you to the people who complained about him.
You have 2 weeks left, man. 2 weeks, baby.
And nobody really complained about him. Just I think like just at one point, Lisa just said everybody's kind of confused by Finiskeel, Andy. But I was being polite about it. So now you all know the truth is that's Lisa killed, Lisa murdered Finiskeel.
And I'd do it again too. And I don't listen to this many true crime podcasts to not get away with murder.
I just I love that I'd do it again too because I then immediately pictured you throwing a smoke bomb down at the ground and then disappearing.
Yeah, a la Scooby-Doo style, and yet I'm just standing there because I'm like, I don't actually want to go anywhere. I'm kind of invested in this the second half of the show.
Actually, never mind. I'm good. Yeah. All right, so this week we're going to be talking about lunchablas versus kid cuisine. So I'm going first because I'm the one who didn't go first the first part. So I'm going to go first on this one, and I'm going to be talking about Lunchables today because I didn't really have kid cuisine because it just seems like too much work for bad food.
Because you were hashtag blessed, that's why.
I mean, kid cuisine's pretty high class as far as TV dinners go. So let's not make it sound like people were slumming eating their kid cuisine. So it's not like Lunchables are so high class. All right, but I'm gonna talk about Lunchable. I'm gonna talk about dirty meat. Dirty meat and cheese with crackers.
Lunchables.
I'll eat you today, and I even though I'm throwing shade at you. Like, I will say that too, is some people are like, man, you guys are like all throw like they're like people are like, man, you throw a lot of shade at XYZ. I'm like, I'm doing it for jokes. Like, usually if I'm talking about how gross something is or like how it's a dirty food or whatever, usually I'll eat the shit out of it and am currently eating the shit out of it. Cause like, I'll tell you what, if somebody just said like, hey, I have a Lunchable, will you eat this as just a snack? I'd be like, yes, I will have that Lunchable as a snack. Thank you.
You'd be like, I'm already eating it. You didn't have to say
you
anything.
Yeah,
I've already begun.
you started the word Lunchable and I was already done. So
yes.
So Lunchables is a brand of food and snacks manufactured by Kraft Heinz in Chicago, Illinois. And marketed under Oscar Mayer brand. They were initially introduced in Seattle in 1988 before being released nationally in 1989. So these ones really started in the 90s. Again, I know it's technically 1989, but like that's about as 90s as you're going to get whenever it starts just before. It's like we just like got ready. We buckled up for the fucking 90s. And like, here we go. We're gonna give you some dirty meat all decade long.
All through the night, yeah.
Yep. And in the UK and Ireland, the product was sold as Dairy Lee Lunchables under the Dairy Lee brand. And if you're wondering why, because they wanted to add another word. Because they're like, you know, Lunchables isn't long enough.
Lunchables isn't long enough.
I know it's good enough for America, but we need to add another word in there for no reason. Like, there was, when I read that, I was like, why the fuck did they feel necessary to specify Dairy Lee? So anyways, they were currently a little bit different because they're called Dairy Lee, so... So thank you to our friends in the United Kingdom and Ireland. And the problem is we actually do have fans in those, and I just did the worst accent.
One of the worst,
That was nothing. So so Lunchables were created for the sole purpose of selling more bologna.
What? Are you serious?
Yep. That's the end of
that
my case.
That was why. Boom.
Okay, I'm
ship
kidding.
It.
That's not it. But no, they literally were originally designed because they're like, hey, like, we need people to eat more of this fucking bologna. Like,
we got so goddamn much bologna
too much
in here.
Bologna, and like, what if we take like cookie cutters, like really small cookie cutters, and just
so
cut
small.
And just cut them into little baby circles? They're like, well, what do you think kids would just want to eat? Just little baby circles of bologna? And they're like, well, we gotta give them other stuff too. And so, they're like, what if we just give kids shitty charcuterie and call it a day? And they're like, all right, that sounds good. So they did.
That's exactly what it is. Oh,
yep.
My gosh.
Yep. So they gave us cheese, they gave us crackers, they gave us bologna, they gave us turkey, they gave us ham, and they said, "Feast, children, you'll never go hungry again until you finished it and we're still hungry."
Exactly.
We get it. So I guess at the time, focus groups had shown that mothers in the late 80s/early 90s, their biggest concern when it came to food was time. So they said, "Yes, that's right. Baby charcuterie is what we need. Put it in some plastic and call it a day." So they came up with the name Lunchables. Now, you're probably thinking, like, man, that seems like a slam dunk, like the first try, right? No, you'd be wrong. That's not their first try. They had a whole bunch of names, Lisa. Do you want to know what those names were?
I 100% want to know all the names.
Okay, so the other ones were entrees. Now, if you're wondering, they were as far as puns go, very good, because they are on in a tray. And it was on on-trays. And they were in trays, and also the word entrees is a thing. So
I don't hate that. I actually genuinely love that.
I know, I love it as a pun. I can't imagine just saying, "Hey, we got entrees," because that would be too confusing every time you said it. Cracker Witches, which feels like a bad, that one feels bad.
That one's so Wiccan. You can't pull.
Yeah. What? Mini meals.
No, that's no.
Which
good.
Again, that's just, it feels lazy and not very clever. Walk meals.
Excuse me. Walk meals.
Just like fucking portable meals. Like, there's just like, we just decided, gosh, like, what is it literally? Let's just call it that.
What is it literally?
Go packs. I mean, again, doesn't really tell you what it is. Fun meals. Again, doesn't really get to the heart of it, but it's at least it's not like super on the nose like walk meals. So I actually like fun meals better than walk meals. The last but not least,
here we go.
Smoothie kebabbles.
No, my God, why, why would you ever say those things out loud on purpose? Smoothie kebabbles.
I think the best part of it is after all of the other ones were like just like a little too on the nose, somebody was just like, "You know what? I'm just gonna fucking pivot and just say something that has nothing to do with anything." They're like, "What's in it? Crackers, cheese, and meat? Fuck it, smoothies." Like,
smoothies.
But they're like, "Well, it's not smoothies." You're like, "Well, let's just make up some other bullshit word and then we'll just call them smoothie kebabbles."
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I don't know what that was supposed to be, but I guess they were like, "You know what? Lunchables sounds good."
Let's just go with the original game plan.
Carl, I know we kind of threw shade at it to begin with, but after all the other ideas, we're good with Lunchables.
No, but honestly, back up real quick. Shout out to the person who came up with entrees, because amazing.
And that's the thing, is entrees, like right off the bat, I was like, that's actually pretty clever. It just sucked that you would have to spell it and clarify to everyone when you said entrees. Like, "Are you ready for your entree?" And they're like, "Yes." And they're like, here's some shitty meat with crackers. You're like, fuck, I thought it was going to be the chicken.
Gotcha, bitch. Parties at Lisa's house suck.
Parties at Lisa's house are the worst. So they started out, of course, with the basics, the bologna and cheese, the turkey and cheese, the ham and cheese, all, of course, with the American cheese. Here's the one thing. I don't, like, they don't have, like, a great timeline. That'd be insane if they just had, like, a specific timeline of events that exactly when Lunchable was released. I have a pretty good timeline on some of them, like, some of the bigger ones. But, like, as far as, like, when the first time a drink came in one of them, like, when the first time a Reese's came in one of them, those kind of things, I don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure to begin with it was just the Lunchable, which was just the crackers, the cheese, the meat, and like a snack. So whether it was a Reese's or cookies or whatever it was, just like that basic. And then they're like, "Oh, hey, let's put a drink in there." And so they added the Capri Sun.
Okay.
Which I will say that was a smooth deal, getting that deal with Capri Sun, because they really fucking, I mean, that also probably fucking skyrocketed Capri Sun too.
Who's never hurting, but yes. Yeah. Amazing.
But I mean, also that could be part of it too, is, I mean, they got some fucking brand name action going on there. So
you're right.
So yeah, so Lunchables crushing it. So they're like, "Okay, we've got the shitty meat market down pat. so they needed to expand. Again, I can't give an exact timeline on everything, but I can tell you what the next one was.
Okay.
It was pizza.
Oh my gosh, the pizza Lunchables. I can't believe I've even forgotten about that.
And I'll say this, it's a hotly debated topic that people lay in on two sides of. Either it was the raddest thing ever, or it's fucking disgusting. And there's no middle ground between those two.
Listen, it was both, and that's okay. And you're just going to have to understand that, like, it's we're all wrong.
Like, this is the thing. I am aware of how gross and disgusting it was. And even, like, as a child, was commenting on how insane it was that I was eating this cold pizza with pepperoni that explicitly said it wasn't pepperoni. Like, made it very clear it was not pepperoni at all. It's like weird salami product that tastes like pepperoni. And I'm just like, all right, that's fine.
How they marketed it? Like, not pepperoni?
If you look at the box, I remember when I looked at the box, it would explicitly say it was not pepperoni. Like, it would specifically say what it was.
Oh, no.
Because
that's
otherwise, the pepperoni, I guess, would have just not worked. Because it was thicker than pepperoni. But it tasted just like it. So anyway, if you had a pepperoni lunch or a pizza Lunchable at any time, of course they were all pepperoni because that would be so wild. Or cheese. I think they'd have, like, the ones with the cheddar and mozzarella. But for the most part, it's the pepperoni pizzas. And so you got these little, like, circular discs with, like, a few, like, little tiny holes in them that kind of just were, like, some soft bread-ish. Some, like, not thick, but, like, slightly thick. And then they would give you a giant ketchup packet of marinara.
Yes.
That you tore off the top of it, and you squirted it on there, like just a dirty boy, just squeezing ketchup onto a disc.
Yes.
And then they gave you a key element, which I didn't realize how key it was until I found out that they took it away in the 2000s, a red stick.
What?
Because... So, you know, like, the cheese spread things, or, like, you know, where, like, you, like, yes, spread those on there? So, the pizza, they did that, too, because they're like, hey, like, it'd be a wild thing if we just gave you just the squirt stuff and didn't give you anything to like, you know, layer it on there.
They gave you the squirt stuff.
So, they gave you the squirt thing, and then they gave you a little stick so you could kind of, like, level it out so you weren't just, like, you know, just a dirty boy with just thick marinara all over there. So, that way, you weren't having to just, like, spread it with your fingers like a gross boy. I mean, I probably still did. But so, like, you put that, you put some cheese on it, put some pepperonis on it, and then what did you do, Lisa?
You put the cheese.
You ate it.
You ate it.
And then you ate it. You put the cheese.
You put the cheese. You bought more cheese.
I'm sorry, I don't know why I asked you. That was kind of a weird thing. But then you ate it. And for people who haven't really done the Lunchables things or the Lunchable pizza things, you know what? I'm not going to cover this anymore yet because it'll be better in a little bit when you find out.
Okay. I'm into it.
So pizza was a hit too, because again, it was a hit. People loved it. Getting a pizza Lunchable, again, unless you thought it was the grossest thing ever, which most people who think it was the grossest thing ever are people who did not eat them at the time and are just in retrospect reflecting on a thing that they never had.
Correct.
So things, as they are wont to do, escalated. And that's when things went horribly wrong. Now, first, they didn't go too horribly wrong. They were like, what do we do for the fat kids? And so they were like, well, we give them more food, of course. And so they did. So technically, they were not advertising to children. It was technically for adults that they were advertising to. So they were making bigger packs, basically. They made them bigger. They made them like square flatbread pizzas.
That sounds amazing.
Where it was bigger and more sauce and more pepperoni and stuff. And then they gave you, what did they give you? In addition to more snack, in addition to, you know, the Reese's peanut butter cup or whatever, they also gave you, not a Capri Sun anymore, a cola.
A soda pop.
Which
finally.
I mean, when you think about how big a Lunchable is, you have to think about how proportionally big they had to make the Lunchable for a cola to fit in that box, because like a cola is pretty wide, right? And so like box suddenly was huge, and I mean it's still not any. It was like no food. They're like, here's like 500 calories worth of stuff with all of your saturated fat for the day inside of it. It's and yet you're still hardly getting any actual calories out of it. So yes, they started putting cola into it because, I don't know, they just gave up.
For reasons.
We know you've given up.
Yes.
So most of them came with a treat of some sort, so I haven't mentioned that much. So of course I mentioned the Reese's Cups. Some of them would just have cookies, which was weird that they weren't branded. They're like, yeah, we'll do Reese's, we'll do Butterfinger, and then we'll just do cookie brand cookies. Occasionally M&M's, sometimes pudding, and sometimes Jell-O. If there was something else that you're aware of that I was not, that's good. I just didn't remember it off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't remember anything different.
But beyond that point, they started falling from grace. They did have a decent one when they came out with nachos, which, again, it wasn't like anything gross. It was just like, hey, we just decided to put chips and cheese in a thing and call it Lunchables.
yeah.
Like, this is just like anybody could do this. Like,
guys, you didn't even try.
Like, all right, well we're going to really just level it up. And that's when things went, well, actually, no, wait, not yet. They did the mega size pizza. They did dunk sticks, which those were basically like some breadsticks that had a cheese sauce and a marinara sauce you could dip it in. Those were pretty dope too.
Okay.
The problem was, Lisa, was
we
then
haven't
they
hit
lost
the problem yet.
Hope for, no, that we haven't hit the problem yet. The problem was, Lisa, that then they just said, "What if cheeseburgers?
What if cheeseburgers?" What if cheeseburgers?
And then they're like, well, and then somebody, like, it just, this is the conversation. One person, just two people just blankly staring at each other said, "What if cheeseburgers?" Other guy just sits there blankly for 3 minutes, doesn't say a word, and then just says, "What if hot dogs?" And then they both just turn and look at a third person, and then they just nod their head, and they're like, all right, let's do it. So they made cheeseburgers and hot dogs.
Oh, my goodness.
In a Lunchable. And the thing I wasn't going to bring up earlier because I wanted to save it to now, for those of you who never had Lunchables or are not aware of Lunchables, the general concept of a Lunchable is that you're taking this to, like, the school lunchroom,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have, again, I don't know what people have nowadays. The idea, the way they're designed, is for you to just open it up and just eat it like a fucking mongrel, and you're not putting this in a microwave. You're not putting this in an oven. So I want you to think about eating cheeseburger cold or lukewarm. I don't know what they did because I never tried it because, like, I was a dirty boy. But even that, I said, this is a hair too far as, like, a 13-year-old or however the fuck old I was. I was like, this is too far. You've gone too far.
You can't do this. You've, like, gone mad.
I was like, you've sinned too much. Like, this was the last sin. So they went just a little bit too far. I never tried those ones, so I will, you know, I shouldn't throw shade because I don't know, but I don't know how they did that.
It's not acceptable. It's not okay.
I mean, and think about, like, not only the burger. I mean, the burger is really the real sticking point. I don't know how you do cheeseburger. Like, I don't know.
How do you cheeseburger?
I don't know how you cheeseburger. And I don't know how you, like, have a bun in that doesn't get super stale. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
That I would assume probably has a lot of condensation going on. So, therefore, probably liquid, therefore, probably staleness. So, again, the bun's not as big of a concern as the burger. Hot dog, I'm like, that's fine. But, like, nobody really wants to eat a cold hot dog. I mean, it's not going to be raw. But
speak
it's going to still be a cold hot dog. Okay, some people like cold hot dogs, apparently. So things went downhill. And yet, I say all of that, and Lunchables still exist, and Cheeseburger Lunchable probably still exists. But yeah, and I think there was always a debate about some people who were like, no, you heat up the pizza Lunchable. And I'm like,
you do not.
I mean, you can do that, but it's no better. You didn't make it better by doing that. So I don't know, like, if the burger ones, if the concept was there, like, hey, unlike all the other ones, this one does have to go in the microwave. I don't know, Lisa. I think the part where, like, I, like, lost focus on this topic because the burger came up. I mean, I knew the burger happened because I remember at the time it was like, it says All-Star Burger or something like that. I'm not even looking at the picture. I just remember,
you just remember.
A picture in my head of that. So they had that, and apparently since then they've come out with some other ones. Again, they might have made these at the time, but I just didn't remember them. They did have one that was like a treatza
A treatza, like a dessert pizza?
Like a dessert pizza, which honestly kind of sounds decently rad.
Oh, man.
But
that's so good.
I know. Like, it was just like chocolate sauce and like M&Ms. And then they did come up with waffles and pancakes and things of that sort. But I'm just like, again, stale waffles and stale pancakes. I don't know.
It's not necessary. You didn't have to do this.
It just
like
feels
technically
like...
you could have voted for apt pupil last, you know, 2 weeks ago. Uh-huh. You didn't have to. You could put a cold hamburger in a small tray for children. But you do not have to. Did anyone tell them they don't have to?
Mm-mm.
It sounds like they didn't tell them.
I don't think so. Like, I told you exactly how the conversation went, Lisa. It was just one person just blankly staring at the other. And then they turned to the third person who nodded. And I don't think that the third person was actually listening. And they just nodded like, yes. And they're just like, afterwards, like, what have I done?
Oh, no. I've unleashed hell.
I've ruined everything. So yeah. So, again, other ones have come out. There's been tacos. Chicken wraps, other various mortal sins, but yeah, Lunchables. It was a trip for me, because I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not saying I'm above it, because I'll totally, if you give me a pizza Lunchable right now and I'm even the remotest bit hungry, I will open that bad boy and eat it. Mm-hmm. But it won't count as food, because it's like, I don't even know how many calories are in that, but it can't be very much.
It's not good. None of that's good. This is what happens. Lunchables exist, and then assholes like me, when you're 20, how old was I? 23.
Uh-huh.
4. Get Lunchables or drive out into the woods, stop at the nearest Walmart, nearest to the Olympic Peninsula. Uh-huh. I went to the Olympic National Forest and got into their natural hot springs, and I had in one hand a pack of Lunchables,
uh-huh.
And in the other hand, I had Boone's Farm,
and I got blasted
on Lunchables and Boone's Farm in a natural hot springs with some friends, and that's what you grow up to be. If you don't take care of yourself, you end up being me. Don't do that. Do better.
I think it's the fact that it was the natural. Like, if it was a hot tub, I'd be like, all right. But it's the fact that it's a natural hot spring that just makes it feel like you just really, like, it was like going into a church and just like, and just boning, like, real, like, I don't, like, it just feels like you just were like, just like a real fuck you, like going into the most natural place ever and then drinking Boone's Farm and eating a hot, like, if you had a hot pocket too, that would have really just been the great trifecta of human sin all in one natural place.
That would have been peak America.
It
but
would have
that
been
was,
peak Americana, but...
But I do love Lunchables, but I cannot return to them after what I've done to them and what they've done to me. Apparently. So
that's when you turned your life around, was after you hit rock bottom.
Yeah, sure. That was my rock bottom for sure. All right. Well, you had amazing notes. I had kid cuisine. So what we're going
to
do is...
To be very clear, Lisa, that was very little of that was notes.
Well, a lot of that was you came with gusto.
Thank
and I appreciate
you. Thank
that.
You. I appreciate it.
So what we're going to have happen now is we've just left the Disney World of snacks. Okay. Now we're on the way home and you're it's like 9:45 at night. You're 6. You're asleep in the back of the car from an awesome day of Lunchables Disney World. And now mom's stopping at 7-Eleven and half the lights don't work. And someone's got their pants halfway down for some reason on the outside. And that's kid cuisine. That's kid cuisine. Okay. There we go.
The 7-Eleven. I was thinking maybe like the liquor store or something like that.
No, mom's not that hard up yet. Okay. She's getting there. And at that point, that's when it's just like lean cuisine or something.
Oh,
but
boy.
In the meantime, kid cuisine. All cuisine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kid cuisine launched in 1990, so authentically 90s, not like that bullshit faker Lunchables.
Ooh, sassafras, I like it.
Kid cuisine is not kid. You have the Escalade. We are, we are the Pinto that's still chugging away. It leaks oil. And the oil is the clear film on top, but we're here, buddy.
It took 97 episodes and like 1 billion years of human existence for someone to compare Lunchables to an Escalade, and I am so glad I was here for it.
Well, considering what it's up against, yeah, it's definitely the Escalade. But if it were compared to anything else, it's basically like a roller skate with three wheels. Sure. That's what it is. But
yours has two, so by comparison, mine's crushing it.
Exactly. So, Kid Cuisine, very different from Lunchables in that they were frozen, are frozen, and they need to be microwaved in order to be consumed. Otherwise, you just have a cold, sad meal to go with your cold, sad life. And yes, so I remember there being a lot of not all right foods mixed together inside one plastic container. But in the end, I also remember having no regrets and would dive headfirst in that hot goop no matter what.
Absolutely.
So I couldn't find a lot of information about the old flavors of the 90s, but there was hamburger pizza with a brownie. Oh. Corn and apples, question mark?
Question
I think
mark?
They were apples. Or the chicken nuggets with mac and cheese, corn, and pudding. And one I saw
was... Tell me
was,
about this pudding, Lisa.
Oh, we'll get to the pudding,
Tell me
Andy.
About this microwaved pudding.
We're going to talk about okay. the pudding. It's going to get so upsetting. Or there was something called the Winter Wonderland option, in which there were green beans and pudding with sprinkles. So
Winter
your
Wonderland.
Winter Wonderland. Option. Yeah. So like your food was actually with your actual your food was like actually food. Mine was like, I don't know what this is.
Oh man.
You see it?
No, I'm just I still can't believe that we're to that point that you're calling mine actual food.
I know, but compared to whatever was happening here, yeah. like there was a lot of like chicken byproduct.
I mean, the
in
corn,
mine.
The corn was real. Like I will say the brownie was suspect. I'm still a little confused about what was going on with that brownie that turned from liquid to solid in a microwave.
Oh, it does. Listen. We'll talk about the desserts. We'll get there. The directions of how to cook this. So first of all, you needed parental assistance. They couldn't just open it up and be like, go for it.
Get it, kid.
Like I hate you. Eat. It's like this one's like, wow, I hate you because I have to cook this. And also, I hate you. Now it's time to eat. But you have like some of them, you'd have to like take the chicken nuggets and stuff out first.
Oh, my God.
Cook the other stuff first. Then put it back in with the chicken nuggies back. And then cook it for like another 2 or 3 minutes. So what if you have at the end of that whole rigmarole is a very hot, very liquidy, condensation-filled mm-hmm. dinner-ish thing? They also had a conventional oven option, which was to be like you could cook it in the microwave for 1 to 3 minutes or in the oven for 28
Four
to
years.
30 minutes.
Four yes. fucking years. Every time I see those like conventions, even like, and everybody's like, you have to cook the pizza rolls in the oven. I'm like, God no. bless you. And I'm sure people will revolt against this statement. I don't have time for that. Nobody has time for that. Just shut up.
Yeah. I mean, if you get an air fryer, suddenly a lot of doors are unlocked. But the air fryers weren't a thing in 1990. So whatever the case is, I can guarantee to you that I never once had an oven-made Kid Cuisine. Not even once. It was microwave
or bust. It's in plastic. What are you, like, how would you even do that? That sounds horrific.
You have to take the plastic film off at all times. So you'd have to take it off to begin
Wasn't
with.
Wasn't it in, like, a little plastic tray?
It was, but that tray, I guess, given its industrial design, yeah. could
loves
just fucking
ovens.
Survive. Yeah.
Just loves
they
them.
Were, yeah. they were created with the ability to withstand your microwave as well as Chernobyl. So... It
sure.
was easy. So it was also marketed by ConAgra Foods, which makes total sense as to why corn was in every single one of these motherfuckers. Kid Cuisine to me holds a very specific place in my heart because, and I'm not just talking about my arteries, sorry. I'm talking about like there was something pretty amazing to me in my sad fat girl heart about pulling the film back to let some of that heat in and popping that bad boy in the microwave and then waiting for the melted plastic plate from hell to be cool enough to touch for dinner or lunch or as a midday snack as I often had them because why the hell not? No one was there to tell me
It gets pretty dangerous when you're talking about that mac and cheese and when it starts like that plastic starts like being like, I'm just going to dip right in here. And you're like, no, hold on. Don't go in there.
There's blue in the mac and cheese. That's the plastic. I'm hungry. Well, just eat around the blue. Cool. I have cancer now. I'm 7.
Oh my god, no. That escalated quickly.
It did. Well, a lot of things did when you're eating Kid Cuisine. I think honestly, they were the backbones, and they were the backbones of single or pair children of single parents. Because, and I don't mean this in a mean way, like I was one of them. And it's just like, sure. If you're visiting your single dad who only knows how to like microwave or boil a hot dog or put milk into a cereal bowl, he felt pretty fucking fancy popping a frozen dinner into the microwave for you. Like if it works for him, it works for you.
Hell yeah.
And if you live with your single mom, like I did, you best believe this was a go-to on nights that like she didn't have anything left. And it was just like, well, it's a hot meal technically. You're like, yeah, brownie. So, yeah, and like you're just like, just sit down and let me have that brown mush, please. I just want the brown mush. So the dessert. Let's talk about the dessert. Uh-huh. Now, you often had pudding, like I said, or a brownie. I don't recall other stuff being available. Those are kind of their go-to. Mm-hmm. What brown gloop can we put in here? It turns out we got two really good ones. I remember liking the pudding because if you microwaved it just a little bit too long, it became brownie-like.
Okay.
Like the edges were burnt like hot, just angry chocolate crispy. Lava.
Yeah, no, this sounds really like, pleasant. Nom, nom, nom,
nom. Mm-hmm. Well, Andy, I was a trash bag. Was, she says. Yeah,
past tense.
So, yeah. So I would eat the brown crispy magma and it was so good, but the inside was just like 40% water.
Mm.
But if you mix it, if you scrape with your spoon the flakes of crusty pudding off, ta-da, it kind of turned into a pudding again. Some people don't like hot pudding, and those people are wrong. So, but
some scholars have argued that pudding's not supposed to be hot, and I would say, go fuck yourself.
Hot pudding is delicious, hot, cold.
Hot pudding?
Hot pudding. Jack has a family recipe for like a vanilla pudding served hot that he loves to make for the kids. So like it's not that unusual in my house to see hot pudding being slung around, but that's a statement. But that's there's a statement. Just
that is 100% a statement. You're right.
But cold pudding, that's also good. Now the brownie would become one with the tray itself, and you could maybe get like. A circle from the middle that you could eat.
Yeah.
And then like, and don't worry, because beside your delicious brownie is a rectangle of mac and cheese that is still partially frozen in the center.
Oh.
And completely burnt ash on the outside. But you had all these things together in one. And I know I'm making it sound like it's not such a good dish, but I'm telling you, Kid Cuisine was passable at best. But listen,
I'm in agreement. I mean, honestly, and that's the thing is like compared to like a normal TV dinner, it was pretty lit.
Yes. Well, because you at that time you had like the Hungry Man dinners. Right. Mm-hmm. And so this was just like we were still coming off the like 70s and 80s where microwave stuff was the bee's knees. And so you also had something cool, and it's so easy and so cheap to just put slop in a tray for kids and be like, this is your food. And they're like, I love it.
I made them extra salami for you.
I do. I know it's food for me because there's a bag of sprinkles that I put into the quote unquote pudding.
That's how you know.
I know it's for me. You have your Hungry Man, which is like a Salisbury steak. And I've got cheeky nuggies now.
Cheeky nuggies.
Now, people online, specifically on Reddit, are pretty torn about this because some understood and relayed the sentiment that yes, have the food. Would still be partially frozen while the other part was absolute liquid magma. Or the fact that the brownie, while delicious, would become one with a tray, like I said. And like you'd be lucky to get half of it. But like others look back fondly on it with the abundance of corn and a little peppy guy on the box.
Yeah. It did feel like the corn was kind of the only one that you could eat all of.
Good old reliable. America mm-hmm. runs on Duncan. No, America runs on corn and like corn the band and the vegetable. And we love all things corn. And, you know, I don't know, man. Kid Cuisine was just like, you knew things weren't going well. Really?
Things aren't going well, gang.
Things aren't going so well, guys. I had a Que Cuisine 3 nights this week. You're like, yeah. Yeah, I could tell. I could tell with how, like, your face just looks wizened with hot pudding. But Que Cuisine, I don't know. Lunchables felt like a lucky thing that you got to have in your lunchbox at school. Que Cuisine was like, this is, I know this isn't a home-cooked meal, but it feels good. Mm-hmm. It tastes passable. And I get to put ketchup on these hot, wet chicken nuggets. And I get to go to bed with a stomach ache. And I'm happy.
It is fun. I mean, this thing, I don't disagree with you at all.
Uh-huh.
Like, that it totally, like, the thing that you did was like a money save, like it felt like a money saver. Mine was a money waster. Yeah. I don't think either of them was really a money saver, but it just, for some reason, yours felt like, because I mean, for dinner, it was cheap. For lunch, mine is expensive. So it was kind of like, I think that was the big thing. And it was like, they were both lazy foods. Mine was just lazier and more expensive.
And I don't know if either were actually filling. Like, I don't buy Lunchables for my kids but once every few months, but I bought them for them not long ago and they went ape shit and like they love them, and I'm like, dudes, it's just crackers and cheese, and they're like, yeah, I get it, but it's in this little tray, and but like they're still so hungry afterwards. Uh-huh. And my kids aren't, I mean, they're growing, but they're, you know, they eat very reasonably, mm-hmm. and they're just like, no, I'm still so hungry. It's like, dude, I get it, you just had cheese and crackers. Yeah. I totally get it. So whereas a kid cuisine,
that being said, I'll wreck some cheese and cracker, like some summer sausage and some like pepper jack cheese or something. I'll go, literally if I was the only person with it and they were like, you have to finish this, and it is 80 pieces of the cheese and meat respectively with all Ritz crackers, it would be gone. But
I believe in you.
It doesn't, but it is not even filling even then. I don't realize that I've eaten the food. I'm like, this was a snack, until like an hour later, I'm just like, oh, I made a mistake.
Right. But I think if someone said, Andy, there are three kid cuisines.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I need you to eat all three of them. I'd be like, I don't have time to cook that. Like, I'm going to have to put that in the oven for like 4 hours.
Yeah, I don't have. Do you think I got a microwave in here? What if I let it thaw for a while? It will be disgusting if you let it just thaw. Also, the meat will be rancid somehow. So you have to have an appliance for this. And yeah, it's a nightmare. But kid cuisine. Total piece of shit.
Did they have fish sticks kid cuisines?
I'm sure they did.
I'm sure they did. And the main reason I mentioned it is because I've mentioned this on multiple occasions. Is like, I had no idea as a kid. And again, I'm not a parent, so that could be part of it. But like, as an adult, like how I would just never eat fish sticks again. Like, I don't know if I've eaten fish sticks in 20 years. I genuinely don't know.
There is one brand, I think it's Gordon's, that has like a tilapia fish sticks that I couldn't stop eating when I was pregnant with Rosemary.
Oh wow!
They're higher mercury. That explains so much about why she is the way that she is, which is to say, very difficult. She is about 60% fish sticks, and. Oh. Yeah, but I'm telling you, they do have some legit ones, but all the ones that are like marketed for kids, nope.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
The reason it's for kids is because they are bad.
Yes. Like, no, this is not for adults.
This is the hot garbage that they're willing to eat. Yeah, we'll get you some actual stuff. It's fine.
Yeah.
But I always found those like fish, like not fillets or something like that. They're like just fried like triangles, basically. Those were pretty good, like it felt like, but like actual fish sticks. That were just basically like, we try to do what we do with chicken nuggets, but we forgot that it's not good.
Exactly.
Like, it's just always, fish has always just felt like bad chicken to me. And I know that's a weird take.
No, you're not wrong.
That's a weird take, but like, I just like, especially with fish sticks, it's basically just bad chicken nuggets.
The fish lobby is officially thankful that we're stopping the show because
it's a good thing you guys are shutting down, because we were going to have you shut down by episode 100 for sure.
Yeah, you guys are mean to us. Well, make better
fish lobby.
So
The fish lobby. All right, big, that's my bit.
I was about to say Big Fish, and then I forgot that. Then I remembered that movie existed. It's so good. I love that movie. Have you seen Big Fish?
I have not. Oh. I'm not going to start now either.
Oh, goodness. It's like, it is. I just talked. Never mind. We'll get it. Hey, where to find us? let's say you listen to this episode and you're like, I have strong opinions on lazy food. Good news. You can vote on it on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook will be up the day of. Twitter will probably be up the next day. Who knows? Maybe that night. I like to try and do stuff sometimes.
It keeps us on our toes, guys.
We like to keep you on your toes. On Instagram, you can find us at 90s.court. And that one will be in the story. So if you're on Instagram, you can like the post, comment something, but also go to the story and click which one you like more. That way we Hell can yeah. register your vote. If you know what? Don't subscribe to Patreon. We love you, but I don't want to take your money. I honestly, like, at this point, it would be really selfish if we're just like, come on, sign up for Patreon. You can check out our merch stores if you're just like, listen, I got some vintage 90s court merch or some vintage Anomalous Fascination. Like, what's Anomalous Fascination? It was a podcast that he did for 24 episodes that was pretty good, but then he did open to business. I still love that show. I actually have notes. I was going to do one on the history of unicorns and the way that people took advantage of people by pretending that narwhal's horns were unicorns.
That's rude.
But then we never did that. So now you know what episode I was going to do that I didn't end up doing. So that's at tpublic.com/user/the90s court. And honestly, if you want to, you can still leave us a nice 5-star rating and review. Be like, this podcast ruled. And it's still, you can say rules currently. But knowing that in like a few weeks, it will be past tense. Unless we change our mind, who knows? Maybe we'll just, everything will change.
We'll see about that.
I'm kidding, it won't. anyways, love you guys, you're awesome. And any parting remarks before we depart?
I'm gonna miss you guys.
It's so weird to say all of these goodbyes. Like, it's like I know this is a weird derailment at the end of the episode, but like my mom, like a lot of times I'll be like, all right, I was like, I'll just like start to go like just into the other room, and she'd be like, see ya, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going. I'll be right back. Like, it's just like, you're like, I'm kind of leaving. Like, I'm going to be leaving soon, but not quite yet. And it just feels awkward seeing someone after they said bye. So goodbye, kind of. But we will be back next week and the next week. So
exactly.
Kind of goodbye. We love you.
Bye. And as always,
stay rad.
Adios.
Light games.